Welcome, welcome to episode 2 of the GuitarTechniqueTutor.com podcast. I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, thanking you for joining me today. If this is the first podcast you're listening to, lucky you. Last week was, I think, probably a little choppier than I would like. I'm feeling a little bit more confident today, and I think I've gotten some audio tracks to reasonable volumes, and I'm hoping that this podcast is going to sound a little bit better than last week's. It's only 90-something degrees outside today, which is making for much more pleasant weather than last week when it was over 100, so I'm real thankful for that. A few students are back from vacations. Welcome back, you guys. Get right back to your guitars if you didn't take them on your vacations, and I'll be seeing you sometime this week, so cut your nails and get back to practicing. I want to thank a few listeners who contacted me almost immediately after the podcast went live on the internet. I thank you for your questions that you submitted for Question of the Week, and I'm giving them some thought. I may or may not be using them, but keep sending your suggestions for Question of the Week. That's just great. At this time, I'd like to remind you that the way you can contact me is via my email address, which is guitartechnique@gmail.com, all words spelled traditionally, guitartechnique@gmail.com. And I want to also refer everyone who's listening to my website, which is guitartechniquetutor.com. On that site, besides finding a means to play this audio file, I'm hoping that probably by the time this one gets up that I will also have a subscription service on the website so that you can just subscribe to the podcast if you'd like to listen to it weekly. I'm in the throes of working on that code right now, and if it's not up for this episode, I'm really hoping it'll be up by episode 3. That website again is guitartechniquetutor.com, also all traditional spelling, guitartechniquetutor.com. And that's great. I'm really thrilled at the response the podcast has had from both my students as well as regular readers of my heretofore weekly changing columns about my students and news and info. So thanks a lot, and let's get right into the show. Congratulations for being in the student spotlight this week go to Arno, Anya, Carol, and Elliot. All of you students did amazingly well. Some of you didn't do fabulously, but you did well under the circumstances that you were dealing with in the prior week. In the case of Elliot, it's only your second lesson, and I really want to congratulate you. You're doing extraordinarily well. And the rest of you, you know what your strengths were, you know what you accomplished in your lessons last week. This isn't the place where I'm going to enumerate those things. I just want you to be encouraged. You're doing notably well. Keep applying yourselves, and congratulations. You did great, and I'm really pleased with your progress. This week's question of the week comes from my student Rob, and he had a question that really caused me to have to stop and think. During his lesson, I suggested for him to play in a particular position for a particular passage, and he gladly did it and worked it out, and he just said, "How do you know?" And I said, well, experienced musicians know that. And I thought he was referring to how would he know. He's been playing less than a year. He's doing really, really very well. He's playing way past ordinary students who have played a year's worth of time, and he's working on something complex. So it caused me to have to really take into account something that is almost an automatic mental process. And you people who are beginners or who play by tab, so you don't understand why someone would choose a particular place or not because you just play what the tab says. It was kind of like if you think about how do you tie your shoe, you know, you just sort of do the movements and you tie it, and it takes you maybe a second, maybe 2 seconds. And I, in thinking about why I was counseling him to play the particular passage on the particular area of the fingerboard, I guess the answer I gave him is pretty universal. I might be overlooking something that is such a natural mental occurrence that I'm not even aware of it. But basically what I was referring to, and this is for you people who play from music notation and maybe it doesn't sound quite right, maybe there's a lot of jumping around you have to do because your safe area of the fingerboard is say in the first 5 or 7 frets, but then you have to jump down to a higher fret. I should say jump up, jump down. Let's make this universal. When I'm saying pitch, we're going to be saying jump up, even though geographically your hand is moving closer to the floor. So I'm always talking sound when I'm saying up or down the fingerboard. So down the fingerboard would be close to the guitar head. Up the fingerboard is closer to the guitar body. That should be consistently thought of by guitarists in those terms. I don't know that we all do. I have some students who think up and down is whether you're playing on the high E string or the low E string, and I don't even want to go there because there isn't much room for geography in music. Anyway, what I explained to Rob when I counseled him about where I thought a particular passage would be better played by him is that I guess what you do is you really scan at least a whole phrase or a good sized chunk of music. You may not want to totally reposition your fingering for one note or what position on the guitar you're playing for a note or 3 notes, but if you have recurring notes of extremes, for example, if you can take into account your very, very lowest notes you're playing in a particular passage and the very highest notes you're playing in a particular passage, well, if something immediately jumps out at you or your level of experience is such that you can see, oh well, you know, if I play in eighth position, I've got this all covered and it fingers very nicely, or maybe if I don't play in eighth position but I play in seventh position and stretch a bit, I'm in even better shape, or maybe I want to be in the tenth position and I can cover all those notes. If you don't have really low bassy notes and you're an experienced guitarist, there's very little reason for you to be playing in open position or first position or second position on the guitar. If you're familiar with what position means, the succinct answer to what I mean by playing in position is whatever the numeric value of position is. Let's say in the case of Rob's situation, it was the eighth position. Well, if you're playing in eighth position, you are not playing any notes from the seventh to the first fret. Likewise, you're not playing any open strings. So that's if you're really solidly playing in a position. I'm not suggesting that there isn't good reason on occasion to play a mixture of position and open notes. That frequently occurs in written music, as well as that it creates a sound quality contrast that is very, very appealing in some circumstances. If you haven't already done this on your guitar, play, oh, I don't know, the D on the 12th fret of the D string, and then play the D that's located at the 3rd fret of the B string. Now, those are, if your guitar is in tune, those two pitches are identical in pitch, but the quality of the sound is hugely different. And there are times when you want either the very short string sound of playing in a high number position, or you want the very mellow sound of a very long string, which would be a lower fret number or an open string. And sometimes you want them contrasting in the same piece of music and even in the same phrase. So basically what I assessed my mental process with Rob was, which it didn't even really exist, but I guess this is the mental process you go through, is you survey a certain range of music, and I would group it at least as big as a phrase, and look at your very highest notes, look at your lowest notes, see where you can comfortably play them all without having to make a radical move of your fingers or an unnecessary stretch, especially if it's a fast passage, because anything you're going to have to stretch for, you have the possibility of either muting notes with your pinky or even missing if you are not really dexterous. So that was my question of the week. I hope that you learned a little bit of something. And if you have not, well, if you don't have a music instructor, or if you have not personally explored the guitar in such a way as to compare the sounds of the same pitches played different ways, for example, take the sound of your E string, and you can play that on many, many locations on the fingerboard, and listen to how the quality changes the closer you get to the bridge of the guitar, or the farther away from the headstock that you get. I hope this question illuminated something for you this week, and please, by all means, submit questions you have for me to consider addressing in this segment. Off the press, it's summer in the northern hemisphere. I know that's not earth-shattering, and that doesn't sound like it's really worth you listening, but what goes with summer, in the United States anyway, and I really hope it's also true throughout the rest of the northern hemisphere, is this is a time when there are countless opportunities to hear at least good and sometimes great music live for little cost or no cost. And this is the focus of news for this week. I try to remind students as well as fellow musicians that you might have opportunities to listen to music right in your own town or city, or possibly a short drive or bus or train away. Until very recently, a musician I really admired played at least once every summer in three neighboring towns where I grew up. And as a very young musician, to hear him play free outdoors and talk to him afterwards, he was a very solicitous guy. You may know Bucky Pizzarelli from his tremendous list of recordings that he's been on, and he's toured with artists like Frank Sinatra and other people notable. Sinatra's probably the most well-known person Bucky ever toured with, but you may know his son, John Pizzarelli, who's also a very accomplished guitarist. And I remember as a very, very not yet seasoned guitar student, being able to hear Bucky summer after summer, because he resided, I don't know if he's still around here, but he resided very, very nearby to where I live. And he was the kind of man that when he wasn't on tour, if he was home in the summer, and I suspect he probably tried to arrange his schedule that way. I guess when his kids, I don't know if he has any children other than John, but it would make sense that he would try to spend some time home in the summer when his son was off school. But to be able to go up and hear a musician of his caliber and hear him free, and later I would make sure I corralled my students and took them to see him, because he is a master of the seven-string guitar. He hasn't performed in the venues he commonly did for, I'd say, the last couple years. But he was always a delight, even as an older guitarist, he could really play. Now, you may not be able to find an artist like Bucky Pizzarelli locally, but you may find not just local talent. There are a couple of vocalists I've heard at free summer venues who are extraordinary, and some of them have rather illustrious careers, not in the States, but in Europe and other places. So the big news is, look around, take advantage of music, and guitarists, you should not just be listening to guitar players, and you should not be listening to only one genre of music. That is the fastest way to not develop as a musician. I know that it would seem likely that if you want to be a fabulous, rock or flamenco or blues or classical or jazz guitarist, that totally immersing yourself in listening to the artists you like seems like a reasonable thing to do. And the truth is, that's not the best way to develop your own style and to develop the ear and the instinct necessary to play your genre well. I'm going to speak more at length on that sometime in a take note section. Not this week probably, but it's something that when one of my music mentors forbade me from listening to any guitar music for a couple of weeks and gave me a prescription of what I should listen to for those couple of weeks, it changed my playing forever. So this is something that's really important to know. It is not something you would think of. It seems illogical, but I can tell you it's true and correct. So look around, check the internet for the towns in your area and the cities in your area and what's going on for free or nearly free. Some towns also have indoor concerts. The outdoor ones are a little bit more popular in the summer, and there are just a plethora of musical opportunities. So take advantage, listen to some free music, listen to some artists you like, and listen to artists you never heard of. Listen to genres that you don't think are your particular favorites. It's really good to open yourself up to processing music that is not what you ordinarily listen to. I have just one question for you guys that are listening to this take note section. What in the world are you doing with that right hand and right arm? Most of you who are not playing lefty say, well, I'm playing with it. Well, yeah, you're playing with it, but what are you doing? A very common error of form that I see is guitarists whose whole forearm is resting on the soundboard. And for those of you who are not sure what a soundboard is, it is the flat top surface of your guitar if it's acoustic. It's the surface that has the hole in it. That's called a soundboard. Those of you who play sitting down, most particularly, and who play acoustic instruments, frequently, if you're not corrected by an instructor, you have your forearm pressing against the soundboard or some part of your forearm on the soundboard. Your wrist is a little bit up, and even maybe the heel of the palm of your hand is on the soundboard. Sometimes you're not on the soundboard, but you've got the heel of the palm of your hand resting on the bridge of your guitar. And some of you, this is very common, especially among beginners, have your middle ring finger and pinky resting on the soundboard of the guitar or on the pick guard. All of these are really bad form. There's no circumstance that would warrant any of those parts of your body touching any of those parts of the guitar. Now, it may not seem like a big deal to you, and it may seem like, well, this is how I play, and I'm comfortable, so I'm not changing. Well, you know, you wouldn't be the first mule-headed guitar player. But here's the issue. If you're, and this is really primarily for acoustic players, the fingers on the guitar would include electric players as well, since although you're not inhibiting anything from vibrating that your pickups are going to absorb, you are limiting the freedom of your hand. And you may think, well, if I've got my hand propped up on three fingers and move my pick around, I know where I am. Well, there's your problem. You're not supposed to know where you are by having your hand or part of your hand anchored to part of your guitar. You need, if you find yourself missing strings when you are not touching the guitar with fingers that are not holding the pick, that's what you need to work on. And there are a lot of exercises you can do for better pick control. Now, sometimes people put their fingers down on the surface of the guitar and don't even realize they're doing it. So for those of you who think you have the tendency or notice you do it sometimes and you don't have an instructor to correct you, what I would recommend is put a pick or a coin in the and hold it with the three fingers that you don't really need to hold your guitar pick. To hold your guitar pick, you need your thumb and your index finger, hopefully curled and not straight. It's really important how you begin to create a habit with your right hand. Later, if you're not an advanced guitarist already, later when you're playing for speed, all of the things I'm mentioning are going to inhibit you terribly. So it's really a good time today, the first time you hear this, to embrace it and actually begin to implement a change to your playing form if this has been an area that has been maybe even inhibiting you and you're not aware of it. Okay, now, for those of you who let your fingers, your knuckles rest on strings you're not playing, same thing for that. You need to have your hand over the strings. The only thing that should be making contact with your strings is your guitar pick and your left hand fingers. No part of your right hand or fingers should be touching your guitar strings. This is something I'd like you to all take note of. I will post on the show notes pictures of the right way to hold your pick. And if I have, I don't know if I have photos of the hand over the guitar, but I know I have a couple of pictures of correct pick grip, and I will put those on the show notes. So be advised, get everything off your guitar that has to do with your right hand and arm, just your pick in your right hand. This week I'm using this podcast to broadcast, rather than keyboard and post on my website, the Student Review, which used to be a student newsletter. And this is going to be a monthly feature where I just address students, hopefully in alphabetical order by first name, and kind of summarize how they're doing. I'm going to run through this pretty quickly because this is really only of interest to my students and their families. Okay, first up is Anya. Anya, this is your first review. You're doing great. Persevere at your guitar practice, but be sure not to let stuff get in the way. And by that, I mean, I know your family schedule is kind of erratic and it's always in flux, but you need to make a commitment and find time to practice daily. Especially now that summer's here, you have a little bit more free time, so be diligent with that and make sure you get to your practice. I'm really pleased with how you're doing, but I'd like to see your practice a little bit more consistent. Next up is Arno. You have great zeal. I'm really enjoying working with you. And what I'm so appreciative of is the maturity level you have, because you are more than willing to do the things that are necessary to become an excellent guitar player. And that is not always the case. Even with gifted students, sometimes they just really hate some of the drudge work that goes along with becoming a well-rounded, totally capable and very competent musician. And you're not avoiding those things. You bring a great sense of rhythm to your playing because you are already a drummer. So I just want to encourage you and say keep applying yourself and you're going to do really great. Next up is Arthur. You're absolutely the most enthusiastic student I have, and I have some really enthusiastic students. Your progress has been excellent in the last few months. You are still really a beginner, but you've been playing great. I know you're on a long summer vacation, and this is going to set you back. I don't want you to be disturbed that your chops just aren't going to be what they were when you left. So it's going to take a few weeks. Get back into your diligent practice schedule, and it won't be long before you're where you were prior to leaving. So I'm looking forward to seeing you again very soon. Next is Brad. Listen, man, you have so much potential, but you are very typical in that you're passive when you practice and passive about practicing. Listen, you're very, very gifted. You got all the nuts and bolts to be great, but you're so distractible. And it's almost like you're saying, take me away in handcuffs, distraction. I'm your slave. You've got to pay more attention to how much you practice, and you've got to pay more attention to what you're doing when you practice. You can be a monster guitar player if you just really want to do it and focus. This is all up to you, Brad, and I really hope you're going to pursue guitar with a little bit more focus. You're just really have it all together if you would just work. I know work's a bad word for some of you guys. Next up is Carol. Oh my, what are we going to say? If you had a life and could actually practice more days in the week than not, you'd be well on your way to becoming the jazz guitarist you want to be. Carol, I admire your grit and determination. Now, you just have to find some time to play. I don't know how you're going to do it. I know you have a really busy life. You've got work, you've got stuff going on at home, you've got family, and so on. Maybe just try to streamline something. Try to combine errands and get stuff done more efficiently. I know we can't put any more hours in the day, but maybe you can just eke out a little more time. We talk about this every week, and I just hope you're able to, because I know you want to play really badly, and we just have to try to figure out where you're missing some time in the day that is available that maybe you're not seeing. Next up is Danielle. Danielle, what can I say about you? Just that your playing has meteorically improved over the past few months. You are just doing great. Don't scrimp on your practice time, even if you have to play in the evening as well as your usual morning schedule. I know you're in a routine, but now that you're really advancing, you should spend a little bit more time, and it might not be so practical to do it all in the morning. Spend some time in the morning and maybe some time in the evening as well, but you're doing wonderfully. Keep up the excellent work. Elliot's next. Welcome, 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 Elliot. You've only been with me for 2 weeks. I am really impressed with the job your piano teacher has done as far as your understanding of music theory. It's great. This is something that is sometimes a hurdle for students or a challenge, but because you've had the piano keyboard to refer to, which makes music theory visually very understandable, it has really been a great thing. You've only had 2 lessons at the time I'm recording this, but your grasp of technique is great and your progress is exceptional. Keep up the great work. Gary, you are next. Well, at one of your recent lessons, we were mentioning that your comfort and knowledge of the whole fretboard is really terrific. That I'm really happy about. But you're enduring rhythm boot camp over the summer for a reason. I can't impress upon you enough that a pitch or a tone and the length of it are a single entity. It's not something that can be separated. In other words, a half note C is a single entity. It's not a C and a half note, so it's 2 parts. It's one thing. All summer, we're going to focus on your understanding and proper execution of all sorts of rhythms. Hang in there. You're improving, but this seems to be your real point of weakness, and we're going to spend a lot of time with this over the summer. Melissa is next. We both know that you have great inspiration to play guitar. We'll leave it right there. Life for you is a little bit hectic at times, and I know you practice pretty regularly, and we're shooting for really consistent practice as opposed to just pretty regular. The other thing is, during your practice, sweetie, you gotta focus on playing a little bit more smoothly. We wanna banish the choppiness, and our goal really is to get you playing a little bit more smoothly. keep up your work. Don't skip practice. I know summer's got a lot of tantalizing things, but stay at it. Mirav, you're off in Israel, and have fun. I know you were really looking forward to this break for a long time. During the past academic year, as well as these last couple of months that this review is for, you've done really, really well. I like that you don't shy away from challenging music, and that if your ear, if it has ear appeal, you'll play it even if it's hard. And if it's just something you like and know, even if it's really hard, you apply yourself. So that's just admirable. Your junior year was murder academically as far as the load of schoolwork you had, yet you got to practice just about all the time, so kudos for that. That's real determination. It's not an easy thing for students to maintain their practice schedule rigorously during their junior year in high school, other than those students who are planning to audition for conservatory, so they'd rather not eat or sleep than play. But for the rest of them, junior year's really tough. Mirav, you did great. I look forward to resuming our lessons when you return, and I hope you're having a ball in Israel. Olivia, have a great summer. I know I probably won't see you till September. You are a seriously precocious student and a very gifted musician. I hope you'll be playing over the summer. It's absolutely delightful to work with you all the time, and I hope I'll be getting a call from you very close to Labor Day to get you back in the schedule. Have a great summer in the meantime. Next up is Rob. Dude, you're really doing well. Please overcome your resistance to calling me if you have a question or you aren't sure you're doing something correctly. That's part of the deal when I'm your instructor. I don't want you to hesitate to pick up the phone or text me. A lot of students do, and I welcome them. Your progress has been amazing. You are the person who inspired the question of the week this week, and the only constructive criticism I have for you, you're doing great in all areas, is just why don't you make your metronome your new BFF? I know it adds a lot of stress to everyone's comfort level, or decreases everyone's comfort level. Stay at it, work with the metronome. It's really your friend, it's not your enemy. So good job, keep it up. Sam, you're next. Well, the last couple of months of May and June, between school and your health, your practice and playing was very spotty at best, and I understand that. Now it's summer, you've gotten back from vacation, so this would be a great time to practice regularly and make some real advancement. You need to be a little more conscientious, and also conscious of the length of your left hand fingernails. You've got to realize that this impacts your technique as well as your comfort playing. I know you're a girl. I know nails are pretty. I know you like your manis and pedis, but cut those left hand nails. You can still go for manis and pedis and let your left hand fingernails grow longer if you want. This is something you really have to do. I know I try to remind you, but this is something you should just do by yourself. Anyway, practice over the summer, and I'm glad we're resuming lessons this week. Talia, you're off gallivanting this summer too. You're in Israel as well. I hope you're having fun visiting the family. You are doing really well. You're another student that has to focus on smoothing your playing out when you return from vacation. You're making excellent progress, and I look forward to resuming lessons with you. I know sometimes you don't get to practice for no reason other than bad time management. So this is something you have to really take a look at and make a habit of practicing, not just have it be something you do when you have free time. Have it be something, one of the things you do daily, and it's not even part of your free time. It's part of your committed time, just the way I'm sure you spend some time reading when school is in. I know you spend time with your homework. Guitar practice should be the same. Okay, so you should be practicing daily with hardly any exceptions. That wraps it up for June's student review, the first one that's been audio. I hope you students have found this to be helpful and more easily accessible than having to go on the website and reading. Thank you. thanks for listening to episode 002 of the GuitarTechniqueTutor.com podcast. Please check my website, GuitarTechniqueTutor.com, for show notes. And if there was anything I needed to link to in this show, I will do so. I will put up some photos of hands correctly holding guitar picks to complement the take notes section. Don't forget, my email address is guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please don't hesitate to contact me if you have a question or would like me to cover something for question of the week. To reply to some emails I've already received from last week's episode, yes, definitely contact me if you're interested in guitar lessons and you're in the Bergen and Rockland County towns that in which I teach. For the most part, those towns are Airmont, Allendale, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glen Rock, Hawthorne, Hohokus, Hilburn, Mawa, Midland Park, Montevale, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddlebrook, Saddle River, Suffern, Tallman, Teaneck, Tuxedo, Upper Saddle River, Waldwick, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliff Lake, and Wyckoff. That's for the most part. Now, I don't have a lot of time, but I have some openings. So if we can coordinate our schedules and you're a good candidate for guitar lessons, perhaps we can work together. After completing this recording of today's episode, I hope to implement an RSS feed on the website to which you can subscribe if you wish. If it's not accomplished by the time this post goes up, know that I'm working on it and I will get it done as soon as I can. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you'll tune in again next week.